Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
I love the song that we listened to before Wendell got up, and we're going to sing that song in a minute. It's an anthem for the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and we are in a series we started last week called Kingdom Disciples. Last week we talked about a kingdom prayer, praying for the kingdom of Jesus Christ to come and for the will of God our Father to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And that song is a prayer asking God to do that very thing. I ask you if you would be making that a part of your regular daily prayer. And I hope you did that this week. And I hope you'll keep doing that as we pray for God's kingdom to come. Today in that series, we're going to talk about kingdom authority. And a lot of people have different reactions to authority. I came across two stories. I couldn't decide which one to tell, so I decided I would tell them both because I like them both. One is true, the other is a preacher story. You can see if you can figure out which one is which. The first one took place in Massachusetts when a man named Christian Herter was the governor of that state. He was running for a second term in office. He had been campaigning all day long, shaking hands, saying hello, kissing babies. He had not gotten to eat. He was starving. And that night, on his schedule, he found himself at a church and they were having a barbecue before he spoke. And so he got in line and he was walking through the line. He got to the chicken and the lady behind the table put a piece of chicken on his plate. He was starving. And so he said to her, "Ma'am, do you mind if I could have another piece of chicken?" And she said, "No, you can't." And he said, "Well, I can't have another piece of chicken." "No, one piece of chicken per person, please. Move along." And he did not usually do this, but he was so hungry, he decided to kind of use his authority. And he said, "Ma'am, you may not know this, but I'm the governor of Massachusetts. Could I have a piece of chicken, please?" And she said, "Well, I'm in charge of chicken. Move along." The second story took place in Clay County. Are you guessing which one's which? Took place at John Holland's place. And a representative, an officer from the Drug Enforcement Agency, had received a tip that someone was growing illegal drugs in Clay County. And so he was checking out farms and ranches and came to John's place and walked up. And John was a little nervous. The guy said he needed to inspect the property. And John said, "Well, you know, that's fine. Just... you can look wherever you want to look. Just don't look. Don't go in that back field." And the guy kind of bowed up and he said, "I'll go anywhere I want to." And he pulled out his badge and said, "I'm an officer of the United States of America and I have authority to go wherever I want to go." And John said, "Well, okay." And John went back and did his chores. And it wasn't very long until John heard screaming and yelling. And he looked up and here come that Drug Enforcement Agency officer running as fast as he could run with John's bull running right behind him. And the guy's yelling, "Help! Help!" And John wanted to help. And so he ran to the fence and he hollered, "Your badge! Show him your badge!" You see why I couldn't decide which one to tell. Authority. We don't carry a badge, but we carry the authority of Jesus Christ.
Come.
Well, in this series on being kingdom disciples, I want to call all of us to take discipleship very seriously. If you have a bulletin with you this morning, there's an outline you can follow along, fill out. You know, the Bible really rarely uses the word Christian. That's how we refer to ourselves most of the time. The Bible doesn't. I think it may use that word three times. The word the Bible uses the most, the word that Jesus used the most, is the word disciple. Jesus calls his followers to be disciples. In fact, the very last thing that Jesus said while he was on this earth had to do with disciples. In Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 16, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, although some still doubted. Then Jesus came to them and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age. Last words. These words were spoken during the 40 days that Jesus remained on the earth after his resurrection. During that 40 days, Scripture lets us know that he met with the 11 quite a bit. He met with some groups that were smaller, some groups that were larger. There was one time that he met that 500 people were there listening to him. And Scripture does not give us much indication of what things Jesus taught his disciples during that 40 days. But all four Gospels and the Acts share some form or version of the words that I just read. So of all the things that Jesus said during those days between his resurrection and his ascension back into heaven at the right hand of God, this is the message that Scripture, the Holy Spirit, inspired through Scripture, wanted us to know and wanted us to remember. And it begins with Jesus saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. See, Jesus is about to charge his disciples with a mission. And Jesus is going to give his disciples the authority to accomplish the mission. See, Jesus has a mission, and Jesus has the authority to see the mission through. Jesus has a mission, and he has the authority to see that the mission is done. His mission is for us as disciples to go and make more disciples. That's the mission. Disciples making disciples of all nations. And along with the mission, we get authority. And one of the aims that I have, one of the hopes, one of the prayers that I have for this message this morning is that the Holy Spirit of God would convict me and would convict you. That you have a mission. And you have the authority from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is King of heaven and earth, to accomplish the mission. He's empowered you with a mission and with the authority. And that means you, if you are in your teens this morning, and you are enjoying your summer and not going to school and having teachers give you pop quizzes, if you are working somewhere trying to earn some money for the summer, if you're doing all the things that teenagers do during the summer, I want you to know this morning that Jesus has a mission for you. And if you're in your 20s, and you are in college and you are pursuing a degree to help you pursue a career, or you're already out of college and you have started your career, whether you're married or whether you're single, whether you're a man or a woman, I want you to know that Jesus has given you a mission. And if you're in your 30s or your 40s and you've got a growing marriage and a growing family and a growing career and growing commitments, in the middle of all of that, I want you to know this morning that Jesus has given you a mission. And if you're in your 50s or your 60s and you've raised your family and you've got an empty nest and you've got a little more time and maybe even a little more money on your hand, and you're wondering, is there more than this? I want you to know that Jesus has given you a mission. And if you're in your 70s or your 80s and you're approaching the end of life here on earth, you don't have as much strength as you used to have, but you got a lot more wisdom and more focus, I want you to know that Jesus has given you a mission. And my aim and my hope and my prayer is that all of us, no matter what age group we fall in, will be filled this morning with the wonder and the awe of the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that you will take Him up on His mission. And that you will believe and receive His authority. But that begs the question this morning, just what authority does Jesus have? And to answer that question, I want to just look at the Gospel of Mark. Because Mark allows us to be witnesses of Jesus. And very specifically in Mark, in those first seven chapters, Mark moves very quickly and just over and over and over, and we're only going to touch on a handful of them. Mark shows us, we get to be witnesses to this incredible, awesome, amazing, powerful authority that Jesus has. And so in Mark chapter 1, we see that Jesus has authority over demons. Folks, there is a spiritual realm. There is a spiritual world, and it is inhabited by angels and by demons. And our Lord Jesus Christ has all authority over that spiritual realm. And even those in that realm who are opposed to Him and who actively work against Him, they are under the authority of Jesus. Jesus is teaching in a synagogue on this particular day. And by the way, it says they were amazed at His teaching because He taught as one who had authority. And there is a man who is possessed by a demon, by an evil spirit in the synagogue. And in the middle of the teaching, this demon cries out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Can you imagine? And Jesus quietly, confidently, with all authority, silences, commands the demon to come out of that man, and he did. And the people were even more amazed at His authority and said, "He gives orders to evil spirits and they obey Him." Folks, Jesus has authority over demons. As we move along in Mark chapter 2, Jesus has authority over sin. Jesus is again teaching. He's in a house. He's teaching. There's this huge crowd that has pressed in and around the house. There are four friends who have a friend who is paralyzed. They've heard about Jesus. They believe that Jesus can heal him. They got to find a way to get their friend to Jesus. So what they do is climb up on top of the roof, knock a hole in the roof, and lower their friend down in front of Jesus. And everything stops as Jesus looks down at this man. And Jesus does, and he says something that was completely unexpected. He responds to their faith, the faith of the friends, in a way that was not expected. In verse 5, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And the crowd was totally blown away by this. In fact, the crowd was offended by this because they thought to themselves, who is he that he could forgive sin? Only God could forgive sin. And Jesus, who knew what they were thinking, said, "I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin. But so that you'll know that's true, watch this." And he says to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." And the man did. Because Jesus doesn't just have authority over legs and arms and bodies. Jesus has authority over sin. Jesus has authority over storms. Mark chapter 4. And again, I'm just skipping through here. There's so many more that we could look at. You know this story possibly. Jesus and his disciples are in a boat. They're on the Sea of Galilee. While they're there, this terrible storm comes up. The disciples are afraid for their lives while Jesus is asleep in the boat. And when they wake Jesus up, he just simply stood up, he looked around, and he said to the winds and the waves, "Be quiet, be still." And immediately the storm ceased, and everything was calm. And the disciples, who had been terrified of the storm, the Bible says now they're terrified of Jesus. Because people who have authority can be scary. And they said, "Who is this man? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Are you beginning to see that as people follow Jesus, they are constantly amazed and constantly surprised at the amount of authority that he carries, the amount of power that he has? As we continue in Mark chapter 5, Jesus has authority over desperation. See, it's not just in the spirit, in the physical world or the spiritual world. It's not over sickness or just over sin. It's even over these feelings and emotions and things that we deal with. Jesus has authority over desperation. He is in the middle of a huge crowd. Everyone is trying to get near him. There is a desperate woman in that crowd. She has been sick for 12 years. She has spent everything that she owns trying to get well, and she just keeps getting worse. And she works her way into that crowd, and she keeps pressing closer and pushing her way and nudging her way and leaning in until she can just reach out. And with the tips of her fingers, she touches the very edge of Jesus' clothes, and instantly she's healed. And Jesus knew immediately that power had gone out of him. Jesus has authority, see, not just over her sickness, but over her desperation. Jesus has authority over death. That previous story took place in the middle of this story. The reason Jesus was on that road and there was a crowd around him was because there was a synagogue ruler, a church leader, whose daughter was dying at home. And he had gone to get Jesus and said, "Jesus, would you please come back to my house and would you heal my daughter?" And so Jesus went. And in the middle of that, this story with the woman happened and Jesus was interrupted, but he finally arrived at Jairus' house and the daughter was already dead. In fact, the funeral preparations have already begun and people are crying and people are gathering. And Jesus puts everyone out of the house and he brings in his three closest disciples and he begins to pray over the girl and he lifts up this dead girl's hand and he just says to her, "Little girl, get up." And the girl stood up. Life came back into her body and she began to walk around. And everyone there was completely astonished at Jesus' authority and his power that he could raise the dead. See, I could just go on and on and on in Mark, as Mark allows us to be witness to Jesus and who he is and what he can do and the authority and the power that he has. And in Mark, that all leads up. Well, even in the middle of this, in the middle of Mark, Jesus is going to send out these 12 close disciples that he spends most of his time with, and he's going to give them authority. He says, you've been watching what I'm doing. You've been watching how I do it. I want you to go out, and I want you to start doing this too, and I want you to do what I do, and I want you to have the authority to preach like I preach and to teach like I teach and to heal people and to drive out demons. And they did. They were able to do it because Jesus said they could. And then all of that leads up to chapter 8. And after spending all this time with Jesus and seeing the power and the authority that he obviously had, Peter gets to answer this incredibly important question. Jesus says, who do you believe that I am? You've seen all this. You've walked with me. You've watched all this. Who do you believe that I am? And Peter answers, I believe that you are the Christ. I believe you are the Messiah. I believe that you are the King. Because Jesus is a king. And Jesus has a kingdom. And Jesus exercises all rule and reign and authority in that kingdom. And King Jesus has called us to be kingdom disciples. And as such, we represent our King. We represent Jesus and His kingdom in the world. That's what disciples get to do. We represent Jesus. I want to illustrate to you what I mean. We are disciples of Jesus Christ, who has all authority in heaven and on earth. We're His representatives. We do not belong to this world anymore. But we belong to Jesus, but we live and we work in this world under His authority. Okay, so we get that. I mean, we know that. What does that mean? What does that look like? I want to give you an illustration. See, we are like the referees, the officials in a football game. All football games are controlled, regulated by referees. By officials. And the officials work on the field of the Dallas Cowboys or the Houston Texans. They work on the field of the team who is hosting the game, but they don't work for that team. They just work on that field, but they work for a higher authority. They work for the league. They have authority on the field because they work under the authority of the league. And they regulate what happens on the field. They regulate it by virtue of the authority that they have received from the ones who are in charge. And sometimes the coaches scream at them when they make a decision. But scream all you want, they end up doing what the ref said. Why? Because they have... 2-3 of you were listening. We're going to keep going. Sometimes the players throw fits and make gestures at the refs because they do not like the direction they're going. But in the end, they do exactly what the refs said because the refs have... Many times you do not like the refs and you sit in your living room and you scream and you throw things because you think the refs are stupid. But it doesn't really change anything because the refs have... Because see, they don't answer to the coaches. And they don't answer to the players. And they don't answer to the fans. Their mission is to rule the game for the league in the chaos that happens on the field. That's our authority. We exercise authority. And when you were baptized, you were transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. You belong to a king. You belong in a kingdom. And that king has all rule and all authority in heaven and on earth. And you get to participate with him. And you get to act. And you get to lead. And you get to work. And you get to serve. And you get to tell as a disciple in the kingdom, accomplishing the mission of being a disciple who is making other disciples under the authority of Jesus. And as we do that, his kingdom expands and his rule increases and his kingdom comes and his will is done. And it happens because he has authority. But see, the question is, we can talk about this, we can read the words of Jesus, we can try to come up with illustrations, but in the end, the question really comes down to this. Do you believe that Jesus is king? And do you believe that he really has authority? In heaven? Yeah. On earth? I'm not sure. Do we believe that Jesus is king and that he has authority? See, there's a discipling question that I've come to love. It is a powerful, insightful, transformational question. And the question is this. If this is true, now what? If this is true, what do I do differently? If this is true, how do I act differently? How do I behave differently? If this is true, what literally changes in my life? That's a great question. And it's a question that we have to ask as disciples when we're talking about Jesus having authority. Because I've walked you through Mark's gospel, quickly showing you the incredible power and authority that Jesus has. You've heard Jesus' own words telling you that he has authority. Some of you have experienced that authority in your life, but the question is, do you believe him? Do you believe what he says? And if you did, how would you behave differently? How would you act differently? That's the question of a disciple. I'm going to give you just one way that kind of fleshes out in two ways this morning to begin us on this process. But if you're willing to go deeper, you'll grow more and more and more under his authority. But if you believed, in spite of what you see all around you, if you believed, in spite of the direction that it looks to you things have gone or are going, if you believed that Jesus really is the king, and that he really, truly has authority over this world, then I propose to you that I would know it, and other people would know it, because they would see you being bold. Believing, being bold beyond our limited dreams. If you really believe Jesus has authority, what's going to keep you from being bold? From moving beyond your limited dreams? If you really believed that Jesus had authority, you would be lifting up bold prayers. Because if Jesus really has authority, there's not a single thing that you could ask him that would be out of his ability to accomplish. If Jesus really has authority and power, there's not anything that you could think of to ask him to do that he would be unable to do. If Jesus really has authority and power in heaven and on earth, then there is nothing that would be hard or difficult for him. If Jesus really has all authority, then by all means, disciples of Jesus should be praying bold prayers. bold prayers like the disciples prayed in Acts chapter 4. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John found the other disciples and told them what the council had said. Basically, the council had told them, do not speak this name anymore. And so, disciples prayed, O Lord, Creator of heaven and earth and of the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor King David. This is their prayer. They're praying this. King David, your servant, saying, why do the heathen rage against the Lord and the foolish nations plan their little plots against the Almighty God? Because that's just what they've experienced. The kings of the earth unite to fight against him and against the anointed Son of God. And they continue praying, even after they've prayed scripture that fit their context and situation. They continue to say, this is what is happening in this city today. And they get specific with God. For Herod the king and Pontius Pilate the governor and all of the Romans, as well as the people of Israel, are united against Jesus, your anointed Son, your holy servant. They won't stop at anything that you in your wise power will allow them to do. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and grant to your servants great boldness in their preaching, and send your healing power, and may miracles and wonders be done by the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after praying this bold prayer, the building where they were meeting shook, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they boldly preached exactly what they had been told not to do. But they didn't listen to somebody who had just authority on earth. They listened to the one who had authority in heaven and on earth, and they preached the name of Jesus. Bold prayers. See, bold prayers aren't just ineffectual suggestions. Bold prayers are not just wishful thinking. Bold prayers aren't timid requests. Bold prayers are specific. Bold prayers are confident, believing that when we ask in His will, it will be accomplished. And my prayer is that God would unleash in your hearts and God would unleash in this church a great spirit of bold, confident, kingdom prayers in the name of Jesus, who has all authority in heaven and on earth. And if you really believe that Jesus has that authority, you'll be praying bold prayers and you'll be living bold discipleship. Because after they prayed, these disciples went out and did exactly what they had asked God to empower them to do. And they went out and they lived and they spoke like they served a king who had authority. And that small little band of disciples began to accomplish the mission that Jesus had given them before he went back to heaven. And they actually went into all the world and they made disciples. And they baptized them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And they taught them to obey everything that Jesus had commanded them. And you know what? He was with them, just like he said he would be. And there were about 120 of them. About 120 people in all the world who believed that Jesus, who they had seen crucified, had any authority at all. 120 people who prayed in the name of Jesus. 120 people who lived and prayed boldly. That's less than sitting in this room this morning. So my question is, how many does it take? On 9/11, 19 men brought America to its knees. 19 men who were fanatically committed to a belief and an ideology that shaped their life. 19 men who listened to the authority and acted under the authority of a terrorist. And things have never been the same in our country. We're not on our knees anymore, but things have never been the same. Jonathan's traveling today to Honduras for a mission trip. Jonathan's traveling completely different than any of us ever traveled before 9/11. 19 men brought this country to its knees. But folks, the God of heaven and earth seeks to bring the entire world to its knees. God wants to bring our nation to its knees. God wants to bring this city to its knees. God wants to bring this church to its knees. And He wants to do it through us. Not great in number, but great in power. The power and the authority of one whose name is Jesus. Jesus, who by His very nature is God. Jesus, who has all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus, who so loved this world that He gave Himself to die. Jesus, who allowed Himself to die even on a cross. Jesus, who was raised from the dead. Jesus, who sits at the right hand of God. Jesus, who has been exalted and placed on the highest place, whose name is above every name, and by whose name anyone can be saved. Jesus. At whose name every knee will bow. See, God wants to bring us and our nation and our world to its knees, but not through terror and destruction. Through love. Through good news. Through hope. Through joy. Through disciples who are making disciples in and under the authority and the name of Jesus. And He has the authority to save you. He has the authority to make you a child of God. He has the authority to give you eternal life. And so I ask you this morning, no matter where you are in your discipleship, do you believe Jesus? Do you believe He has all authority? And will you act like it?